We've heard in the news lately that many Wisconsin schools are having trouble finding and retaining teachers, and that fewer college students are going into the teaching profession in Wisconsin and around the country. Our next guest says he's not surprised. He says education reformers from both parties have created a hostile work environment for teachers and hurt the teacher training process along the way. Tim Slecker is the dean of the School of Education at Edgewood College in Madison. He's a founding member of Education Deans for Justice and Equity and the past president of the Wisconsin Independent Colleges of Teacher Education. Tim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
No problem, man. Thanks.
Well, we've got this news about teacher shortage,
right?
People not going into teaching. You've got thoughts. What do you see as the cause here?
First of all, recognize teacher shortage, and people will say we have a teacher shortage because we can't hire people. And I would say there are some areas, special education in the rural parts, where we actually have true shortages. But the idea to look at across the state and call the entire phenomena a teacher shortage really takes away from the reality of what's actually happening. I heard you talk about this. We actually have a retention issue. We have more teachers leaving the field than there are entering to become field. We have less teachers going into teaching. We have less students going into teaching. So why? And that's what I'm trying to push people for the past 4 years. Instead of looking at this as a simple labor issue and or a licensing issue, you know, the other licensing gets in the way of getting good teachers. No, it actually doesn't get in the way. In fact, deregulating the licensing to let people into teaching is actually harmful to kids because you're sending less qualified people in front of children. The other problem with that, though, is that it doesn't address the issue of even if you send more teachers out there, if they leave in 1 to 3 years, which is about the lifespan of a new teacher right now, who cares? You're just simply supplying cannon fodder for the real problem, which is the system, and it's actually a 35-year system, of accountability, test-based punish accountability that has, quote, been blaming teachers for the achievement gap, for low standards, whatever you want to say. But we've had a movement. And as you said, both parties, whether it's No Child Left Behind from Bush, whether it's Race to the Top from Obama, ESSA, which was the new thing, all of these, quote, ways to hold teachers accountable are actually ways that are driving teachers out of the field.
So take us into the classroom now. You got this new teacher, years 1 to 3. What are the things going on in their lives as teachers that's making them say, all right, I'm out?
The biggest thing when you talk about this is that they're let's put this out there. We don't have a shortage problem. We have a teacher demoralization problem. It's been documented. Actually, Dora Santoro, college professor at Bowdoin, wrote the book Demoralized, where she lays out the research that says we don't have a shortage. We have a demoralization. And the biggest issue, get to your question, is the lack of autonomy and lack of respect as a first-year teacher going out there and being handheld, fed a curriculum, told to stay on, you know, task with the curriculum, and then constantly being reminded about their biggest issue is to raise test scores instead of creating meaningful, lasting, deep relationships with children that actually encourage them to learn. So teachers will tell me, Tim, I'm actually being told to do things that are harmful to kids. Miss recess, keep them in at lunch, skip art, no science, all of these things in the pursuit of this ridiculous achievement gap that actually now, 35 years later, is still exactly where it was all this time. And so we've got teachers leaving. Nobody's going into teaching. We've got an achievement gap that's been going on perfectly. We've measured it wonderfully. If we could say anything the past 35 years has done well, is we can without a doubt say we've measured the achievement gap. Stop measuring the achievement gap. Let teachers teach. They are absolutely demoralized by the fact that they are being asked a lot of times as teachers, when they talk to me privately, will say, I'm actually being threatened sometimes that I need to be in compliance with teaching standards that are going to be on the test, because if our test scores don't go up, we're going to be in trouble.
Have we gotten any benefit, apart from measurement, okay, have we gotten any benefit from this idea that, hey, we need to test to know how well our students doing, to know how well our teachers are teaching? has education been improved in any way by that?
Education-related companies that supply products to that issue have done great. It's been a boon industry for testing, Pearson, you name that. As for has it done anything, people say, we need this to, where you're going, we need this to show the gaps. Actually, we have what's called the National Assessment of Education Progress, which is a test that is given a random sample every so many years that's been going on since the 60s. Guess what it shows? We knew we had an achievement gap back then. So the idea that we need more tests, that we need state tests, that we need local tests, that we need individual tests to point out the gaps were always there. They've always been there. They're not hidden. So we already have a national, and in fact, it's a better test because it's a sampling with low stakes that doesn't get people fired and doesn't have kids shaking in their beds the night before about the test they have to take.
Talking to Tim Slecker, dean of the School of Education at Edgewood College in Madison. He says we have big problems in the way we approach education lately, and we need big changes. Let's talk about teacher training now. That's also a big concern for you.
Teacher education.
Right. Can you talk about different things?
We train animals.
Okay.
We educate teachers.
Point taken. Okay. Talk about what you see wrong with teacher education. Maybe it's that we call it teacher training.
Well, what's wrong with teacher education? You're asking me to criticize my own field. I right now, the biggest issue with teacher education is in one way the same issues that public schools are facing and public teachers are facing, is that the pushing down from above by bureaucratic people of what we now have to, quote, teach in teacher education to, quote, meet the standards. And so, again, a deprofessionalization of teacher education. My colleagues, you gotta say, you know, we have PhDs. We've taught for 5, 15, 25 years in classrooms. You know, to come out and now say, here's what you need to teach future teachers, that's, again, that's disrespectful at best. It's the same thing that happens to teachers. So what's wrong with teacher education? The biggest issue is the disrespect that teacher education itself gets. If you talk to students who go through teacher education, one of the complaints might be more so is that when they get out into the classroom, they find a conflict of what was taught in the teacher education classes and what they're being mandated to do. That is an issue. However, I would say the issue is the mandate of what they're being asked to do once they leave teacher education, as opposed to continuing with what we started in teacher education, which was a deep sense of teaching for justice and equity.
Talk about that idea, teaching for justice and equity.
Yeah, right. It's totally different than teaching for test scores. And I know people would say, look, if the test scores matched up, that would be for justice and equity. No, actually, you know, it's not. Looking at tests, first of all, understanding that we would, from a teaching for justice and equity, I might step up and go, you know what, I'm not going to give this test today right now because it's inappropriate, it doesn't measure what it's supposed to do, and in fact, it's going to be used, the data from that test is going to be used to label our school failing, close it, and then charterize or run it over through a private. So a just and equity approach to a teacher would be a teacher leader who understands why that is a problem. What else was
Just the idea of teaching for justice and equity.
Justice and equity. Yeah. I mean, the recognition of, you know, we just got finished with the National Teaching for Black Lives Week. The idea that we come at and teach a rich, justice-oriented curriculum that exposes students to the realities and the truths and some of the nastiness of the system of which we actually go. I mean, the public school system itself, what are the systems of racism and oppression that are there? So there's so much in a racial justice equity driven curriculum that is not being taught. And when you force mandate closing the achievement gap through reading and math scores, you actually push out justice and equity teaching.
Some people will hear that and say, this sounds like a sort of political indoctrination in teaching.
Is it political indoctrination? Public schools are the foundation of democracy. We have to admit that. So the idea that we have 85%+ of the population in public schools. And the reality is that while you end up going to school and hopefully get a good job because you got a good education, the foundation of public education is to create informed, critical citizens. If that's political indoctrination, then I'm sorry, then I guess that's what we're doing. But the idea that we're going to have kids leaving schools with political action ideas, with wanting to be a part of democracy, that's what's left out of the curriculum. And I'm that's intentional. We create a complacent group of voters. And we actually, think about this, we elevate voting as if that's some type of civic action that we need to be proud about, instead of looking at what are the demonstrations going on? What is happening? How do we look critically at the structures of society? Public schools were founded from the idea that they are a bedrock of democracy. That's their first purpose. Dewey said it. You have to have a democracy. Jefferson said it too. I mean, let's go back to the public understanding of why we have public schools. It's so that we have awesome citizens that don't allow stupid things to occur in their lives.
We're talking to Tim Slecker, Dean of the School of Education at Edgewood College in Madison. We're talking about, our starting point was Wisconsin's teacher retention problem, why fewer people are going into the profession and staying there. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you're an educator or have been. What do you think about what our guest is saying? Do you see problems retaining teachers in your part of the state? What do you think of what our guest is saying about the role of public education, training citizens for a democracy? What do you think of testing? Lots of testing in our schools. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Tim Slecker, Dean of the School of Education at Edgewood College in Madison, about what it's like to be a teacher in schools in Wisconsin and around the nation right now. He writes about issues in the teaching world at BustedPencils.com. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you seeing in our schools as a parent, a student yourself, an educator, an administrator? What has changed over the years? If you're teaching, are you seeing lots of testing, as our guest says, getting in the way of actual education? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Annette is with us in Appleton. Annette, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about?
I'm a teacher, and I think that to say that the demoralization of teachers is about testing is an oversimplification. I think, yes, that we see some, the measurements is frustrating sometimes, but I think that the Act 10 and the devilification of teachers here in the state did a lot for demoralization, and the public perception or respect for teachers is still not back there. And I think teachers struggle with that a lot more than they do, at least at the secondary level with testing, where, you know, it's just one test that really we're looking at. And ACT has helped a lot because that's an actual test that students are using in their future. So.
Annette, thanks for the call. So Act 10, she says, and the vilification of teachers as part of the morale problem.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that, but understand that Act 10, all of these are part of a long, as I said, you have to look at this as a 35-year progression that starts at actually A Nation at Risk, which was the wonderful document put up by the Reagan administration in 1983 that essentially said schools are failing. And that movement, so Act 10, absolutely, is part of that attack on teachers, attack on, and it's not simply, quote, testing. Understand, though, when I talk about it, people really reduce it, a system of accountability, surveillance, and monitoring, Act 10, yes, all of those issues, no respect. But again, I said this before, though, too, autonomy, to be a professional teacher and make decisions based on what you know is best, that stripping of autonomy that came with Act 10, that comes with a system of accountability, typically ranks as one of the biggest issues, on top of the fact that oversized classrooms, not enough supplies, not enough money, throw all that together, and guess what? teachers are leaving the field. Why would anybody want to be a teacher?
Annette, thanks for the call. Going out to John in Madison. John, hi.
Hi. I just want to say I was looking into going into teaching about 15 years ago. I'm a scientist with a chemistry degree, lots of math and physics. In industry, even at that time, I can make six figures. Going to teaching at that time, I think the salaries were around $35,000 an hour. So when I found that out, it was not even an option anymore. And I wouldn't be in the position I'm in today. I wouldn't have the degree I have unless I would have had excellent teachers. And so I think the money issue is huge as well. It was what kept me out of teaching.
John, thanks for the call.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, as we look at the teachers over the past, 10 years actually in Wisconsin now make less money than they did 10 years ago, right? You know, what's happening in Denver right now? What just finished in Los Angeles? What happened last year with all the red states? I mean, recognizing that the pay doesn't keep up. But you know, I liked what the other point, though, about great teachers and how important they are. When you approach a teacher shortage from trying to figure out how to get people into the classroom as fast as you possibly can, then you are not using greatness as your bar for getting people into teaching. You are going back to what I said, moving bodies in and out of classrooms, which is really disruptive for students to have that constant churn of teachers.
Talking to Tim Slecker, Dean of the School of Education at Edgewood College, about issues facing teachers, schools when it comes to teacher retention and more. Back to your calls. Kim is with us in Beaver Dam. Kim, hello.
Hi there. So I'm going to school for teaching right now. I'm a non-traditional student, so I have kind of a different perspective on it. And given all the school shootings, and I think that it's kind of a safety issue as well as not being prepared. I taught gymnastics for 6 years, and I've got to say I learned more teaching and doing that than I have in my classroom learning.
Kim, thanks for the call. Worried about safety, rethinking being a teacher, and not feeling like she's ready.
And that is an issue that teacher education sometimes gets hit for. You know, are we too theoretical? We're not as practical as the classroom. But again, the solution to that is partnering, and I think it's one of the things we do incredibly well at Edgewood. We work hand in hand, we're not alone in this. The idea that our students working with teachers, working with principals, what we do is in partnership with school districts to make sure that we're bridging that gap of what, when they say it's not really relevant. No, we're making sure that it's really relevant.
Thanks a lot for sharing your story, Kim. We'll go now to Bob in Fish Creek. Bob, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you think?
I've been teaching for 25 years. And one of the things that your guest brought up was autonomy, and autonomy leads to mastery, and that's what motivates teachers to do well, working with kids, developing relationships with them, getting to know the kids. You know, with our education system in Wisconsin, we have this, like, school rating number that appears on the state of Wisconsin that lets everyone know how your school locally is doing. But there's, you know, what is that based on? English scores, math scores, attendance rate, graduation rate. So everything else that your school does isn't taken into account. And this whole system obviously wasn't devised by teachers, because the people with the least amount of power in this whole equation of education are the teachers in the classroom. The people that can make the most difference in the students' lives, you know, we're not taking into account here like we should be, because we are the ones that do the work.
Bob, thanks for the call.
That was the best point right there, and I've said this many times. In fact, we have another new commission now that's going to go out, and there's not a teacher on it. The idea, ask any teacher about the conditions in which they're teaching, and they will tell you, I would have never designed anything that looks like this. So why would we not include teachers in policy decisions and discussions? Why? Is because we don't want their voice there.
Time for one more call. Thanks, Bob. Bridget is with us in Milwaukee. Bridget, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to speak to the issue of evaluating teachers and what makes a great teacher. Currently, we have the Danielson framework, which is used to evaluate teachers, and there is a certain whippetness or something that is you cannot measure that great teachers have, the way they build relationships, the way they inspire students. And, you know, it comes in part from that autonomy and being able to do what you think is best for students that may not be part of the curriculum, but it's also something else. And one thing I wanted to share was that my experience in MPS, you know, my students in my suburban district now are doing better. Their test scores are higher. Does that make me a better teacher? No. I was actually a better teacher in MPS when I had to work much harder because my students came in with less background knowledge and experience.
Bridget, thanks for the call. 30 seconds or so, Tim, to react to that.
Exactly. I mean, this is the other thing we know about test scores. Guess what? They're absolutely predictable by your street address. Okay, and so when you talk about that, did test scores go up in a suburban community? Where do we need great teachers? Where are the issues? You know, and start looking and going, we need people who are going to go into the hardest places to teach. To do that, you need to be an awesome person, not someone who got their certification fly by night, by emergency licensing, whatever you want. You need a deep connection to the community in which you're going to teach. And so, you know, with that, I said, if we're going to get at the shortage, let's actually ask teachers why they're leaving. And then let's fix the conditions of the classroom.
Tim, thanks a lot for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you.
Tim Slecker is the Dean of the School of Education at Edgewood College in Madison and a founding member of Education Deans for Justice and Equity. He joins us to talk about teacher morale, teacher retention problems in Wisconsin schools.